And so let's be encouraged by the Word of God. Just kind of prime our hearts. Always like to do that before we get into the prayer time. And tonight's topic, of course, on the subject of prayer. In fact, the title, Praying in Agreement. Praying in Agreement. And it's a familiar verse to us, but it does have a powerful truth about prayer. And by the way, not just a principle of prayer, but an absolute necessity for prayer, specifically group prayer. So let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Matthew 18, verse 19. A wonderful promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God's Word. Matthew 18, and then verse 19. And the Word of God tells us and reminds us, Jesus Christ himself says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a joy to be here, Father, to assemble, Lord, to just praise you, to hear from your word, Lord, and to pray to you, to worship you, to adore you, Lord. And truly you are worthy, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for the great salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can once and forever have this sweet communion with you, Lord, as your children. And Father, we praise you for the good report of the baby being born there with the Christians. Bless them, Lord, and for Brother Ken, thank you, he's okay, but just continue to heal him up, Lord, strengthen him and his wife. And Father, even tonight, Lord, we are just such a thankful people. We confess we are a needy people. And help us always to be praying according to the Spirit, according to your will and word, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, and in unity with one another. We thank you, Father, for this time tonight. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. And do I just realize, you know, this is, you know, don't, you know, not to say blink and you miss it, but it's easy as we're reading this. You know, we read it like any other verse in the scripture, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ is saying something very, very important about a principle of prayer. In fact, he gives a promise, a conditional promise, that if this happened, then that would happen. Now, the if is on us. The if is never on God. God is always guaranteed. The if is on us. Ball's in our court. But notice the context of verse 19. Jesus says, "Again, I say unto you that if..." So it doesn't necessarily happen automatically. It doesn't happen by default. This only happens by a concerted, active decision for us to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, praying in God's will and word, so that there's unity in our prayers. But notice what he says here, that if two of you, even just two, I mean, that's, you know, now two is wonderful, but what a blessing if the whole congregation, for that matter, but at least two of you shall agree on earth. The idea is that we are on earth, our Father's in heaven, as our petitions, our prayers rise up to heaven. If two of us agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. And so it doesn't just pertain to some prayers. This pertains to anything that the church would pray for. Again, not so much private prayers, okay, but this is as a church congregation, as a corporate body, as a local church, even as we do tonight, as we do on, you know, the first Sunday afternoon of the month, etc. As the church prays as a body of believers, anything. So this applies to that, to anything we might ask. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Again, the context, don't miss that. Again, this is not a, verse 19 is not a standalone verse, okay? It's not a license or a green light to just, you know, hold God accountable for whatever we want he's got to give us. No, that's not what it's about. Context, of course, is in verse 20. And so, for where two or three are gathered together. So this is specifically an assembly of believers, two or three or certainly more, in my name. And that is huge. That is in the name of Jesus. And again, the name of Jesus doesn't just mean we pray our own will and then just kind of wrap it up and say, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, that's not the idea. In Jesus' name, meaning it's truly his name, his will, his desire, his word, okay? And so that's in Jesus' will, God's name. So when we do that, and so remember, the praying in Jesus' name must always be the goal of our prayer. It's God's will be done according to his word, according to his will. Those are inseparable when we are praying in the word of God. In harmony and obedience to the word of God, we are automatically in the will of God, okay? And so those go hand in hand. So praying in the name of Jesus, meaning praying the will and the word of God, so that must always be the goal and the overarching theme of our prayer, It's for God's will to be done, praying in God's word, God's will. Now, the way we pray that has to be, verse 19, in agreement. And this is huge, in agreement. And so the idea is, well, God really, really wants his church to pray in agreement, in unity. And so it's continually emphasized in Scripture. You know, just for sake of time, I picked just a handful tonight. There's certainly more. But let's go real quick to 1 Corinthians, just kind of, set the context of just how important is it to pray in agreement, to pray in unity. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right off the bat in the first chapter. Let's go to verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Notice what Scripture says. It says, "Now I beseech you," that is a plead, almost like begging, okay, and this is the Apostle Paul. Again, he understands he can't force anyone. You know, he is your spiritual father, but at the end of the day, it's a choice they have to choose to make. So please, Corinthians, especially you Corinthians, okay, because they had a lot of divisions, okay, "but now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, we know it's given by inspiration, but now he's invoking the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, this is what God wants you to do, not just Paul saying it, God saying it, "that ye all speak the" what? "Same thing." Everyone on the same page. "And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." I mean, this is amazing. This is not just kind of fits together. This is perfectly fits together. A perfect hand and glove. And so the ideal fit, the perfect piece of the puzzle, you don't just kind of jam it in there. The idea, he is asking for a one mind, one heart, same mind, same judgment. Now, let's go to Romans 15. Romans, so back a book, Romans chapter 15, just a few page flips. Romans chapter 15, kind of the same, you know, same context, verse 5 and 6. Romans 15, verse 5 and verse 6. And the Apostle Paul tells the believers at Rome, "Now the God of patience and consolation," of course it comes from God, it's by God's grace, "grant you to be like minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." So it's not like-minded everyone on my side, no. It's like all of us on his side. Okay, that's the idea. Okay, so like-minded doesn't mean that one, you know, one brother or one Christian monopolizes the will of the church. That's not the idea. It's the will of God through Jesus Christ, but we need to be in agreement. So be one like-minded. How I think is how you think. How you think is how I think. What you desire is what I desire. We're all on the same page, same heartbeat. Of course, it's in the will of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, "that ye may with one mind and one mouth." This is amazing. Because the church, obviously we have different personalities, different people, different members. And so we have multiple mouths. But the idea is that we are all in it together, that the agreement is so essential that essentially when the church prays, it's like one mouth, you know, just one person praying, which is, when you consider the fact that we are a local body of believers, truly body as in a person. So it's like one person, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the goal, the theme of our prayer needs to always to glorify God. So that's, yes, according to God's will, God's word. But the way we do that is praying in unity, praying in agreement. And so let's go to Philippians. One more reference and then we'll move on. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Doesn't matter if it's the Corinthians, doesn't matter if it's the Romans, the Philippians, or the Wassonians. It applies to us too, okay? All believers, New Testament congregation. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. "Only let your conversation..." That's our testimony, not just our words, but the words that our life exemplifies. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." So there's a certain way that Christians ought to behave that would be becoming of a Christian. And certain ways that would be unbecoming. Okay? And so the Corinthian church, carnal, full of divisions, full of cliques. And so Paul is really encouraging the Philippian believers. There's something that you can do. Believers at Philippi, that will be becoming of Christians, becoming of those that have received the gospel, becoming of those that preach the gospel. Well, what's that? "That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs," not that they're all have strife with one another, but what? "That ye stand fast in" what? "One spirit, with one mind." striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's not a tug of war. They're all, you know, charging the same way. They're all striving together as one unit, as one entity, as one person for the faith of the gospel. This is what, you know, the Christian faith, okay, the doctrine that they're all in it together. Now, when the church does pray in agreement, when we all pray in agreement, here's one example, there's many examples, but let's go to Acts chapter 4. This one kind of jumped out at me here, but let's go to Acts chapter 4. Wonderful testimony when the church does pray in agreement. And again, Jesus said if, because it's not a given. That's why Paul was beseeching them, guys, please be in unity, okay? It doesn't happen by default. In fact, division happens by default. Unity happens only by conscious choice to choose to submit and yield. Okay, so let's go to Acts 4. And then verse 23, notice what it says here. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. The disciples have just gotten threatened, right? Don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. But look at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Like, guys, well, we got threatened. What did they do? And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now, this is amazing, because have you ever thought, maybe you haven't, like, but I have, you know, when it says in Scripture, this is just one of many instances where there's a whole congregation apparently speaking and praying, and I'm reading this, like, wait, how does this, do they all just get a script? How the hell is everyone saying this, you know, like a whole chorus? You know, but the idea, of course, is that they've got one heart, one mind, one spirit. And so they all said this together, Lord, in one accord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Of course, all the naysayers, all the kingdoms that reject Jesus, it's going to be futile. They're going to be brought down. God is going to bring his judgment. Jesus Christ will indeed rule. Okay, verse 27, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined for to be done. They were just executing God's plan. I mean, and God knew that. God was not taken by surprise. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And so just as it was determined before Genesis 1:1, that Jesus would save us through crucifixion, God himself in human form, even so this threatening has not alarmed God. God is in control. But they're asking for this, grant unto thy servants, it's plural, they're all praying this, but they're all one voice, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. You know what's so amazing here? They're praying in agreement. You don't just have some of the church saying, Lord, can you let up a little bit? You don't have some in the church saying, boy, a little bit less persecution would be good. And then some others saying, no, keep the persecution. Just give us boldness. You know what I'm saying? So they're praying the same thing. They're praying for boldness to overcome the persecution. You don't have a divided congregation where they're praying for different things in their own mind that they might think it's right. Okay, they're praying the same thing. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. God, use us. Work mightily through us. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. God responds to unity of prayer. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, exactly as they had prayed it. They didn't ask for less persecution. They didn't even ask for safety. They didn't say, hey, Lord, keep us, you know. They prayed, everyone, for boldness. That was the one voice. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Just completely operating as one person, one individual, you know? And certainly if my right hand needed something, my left hand would give it to it, right? Because we have a part of the same body. My right hand hurts. We all hurt. My whole body hurts, right? It's the same thing. Let's go to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Here's another example of unity by the brethren. So Psalm 133. This is using Aaron, the high priest, as the picture here. But let's go to Psalm 133. And it's going to picture Aaron as a person, a man. And so you can certainly relate that to the local body of believers, Jesus Christ the head. And the body is the believers, the church. Okay, so one person. But let's go to Psalm 133, just the first two verses. Look at what it says. Behold, how good and how pleasant. Like, God sees a church in unity, one heartbeat, one mind, one spirit, one voice, and God is well pleased. God doesn't get, those Corinthian guys, you know, they're all twisted up. God is well pleased. I'll say, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. By the way, this works for kids too, siblings. Little encouragement to the kids. Anyway, but make mom and dad happy. Anyway, brethren dwell together, and dwell is a long-term thing, in unity. All on the same page, same desires, all in agreement. How good is it? Look at verse 2. It is like the precious ointment. Again, this is anointing of God. That's the picture here of Aaron, of course. He is, you know, he's endorsed and called by God. He's approved of God, God's power, God's presence. God is all in. And so that's how nice it is when God chose Aaron. God really chose Aaron. Remember when, who are those guys? Dathan, Abiram, those guys, they tried to, Korath, they tried to challenge. And God said, no. I chose Aaron. You guys are going, okay. And so, but the idea is God really, really, is, you know, has chosen Aaron. That's his man for the hour to be the high priest, etc. But when brethren, when we pray as a local church in unity, this is how God is well pleased with us as he was with Aaron. And so the anointing shows the power and presence of God that ran upon the head and ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments, all the way from the top of his head where he's anointed, all the way down to the heels. I mean, that is the overflowing power of God. Again, this is ointment, but ointment pictures Holy Ghost power. If our church body can be like Mr. Aaron here, from the top to the bottom, flowing with Holy Spirit power, that is tremendous. That is wonderful. I mean, what a picture. Praise God. And so now how? Hey, I'm convinced I want to be praying in agreement. So how can the church pray in agreement? Well, obviously every part's got to be in it. It takes us all doing it. Even one Achan can mess it up, right? And so we all got to be in it. And it doesn't happen automatically. Jesus said if. But let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is a good reminder verse for us. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's go to verse 3. We'll start there. Ephesians 4, verse 3. What a wonderful, how true it is. To pray in unity, to be in agreement, it takes a continual, concerted effort to do it. Never set our spirit in autopilot, because you will follow the flesh. It's got to always be, well, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Just like we don't want to have a bone out of joint in our body, we want it all to be where it should be, every spot, every joint in place, perfect harmony of where we ought to be. Verse 4, there is one body. Again, that's the emphasis, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, because this is how it should be, the local church, the congregation. There is one body and one Spirit. Of course, Christ is not divided. Why should his body be divided? One Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I mean, so it's one, 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 one. Why? It's completely against God's will when we are the schisms or disagreements, you know, and not on the same page, and multi hearts, not one heart, but multiple hearts. Not one mind, multiple minds. You know, we're schizo, okay? God doesn't want his church to be like that. He wants it to be a one heart, one mind. In fact, if you go to verse 1, same chapter, again, same theme here. Paul is essentially begging them, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And so, you know, to be of one mind, united in agreement, that is becoming of a Christian. Amen. And how do we do that? The only way we can do that, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness. In other words, humility. We got to be humble because we're all different. God made us different, but he wants us to be unified. And the only way we can do that is to be humble, humble, humble. It's not about me. It's about my brother, right? With long suffering, we've got to put up with one another, forbearing one another in anger. No, I didn't say anger. In love. We don't put up with each other. I'm going to add that to my list here. No, it's in love. And by the way, whose love? The love of God. The love of God. Okay, the Holy Spirit love. Okay, so that is how we do it. Humility, forbearing, lowliness, meekness in one another in love. This is God's love. So let's go to Philippians and we kind of wrap it up there. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And so it kind of expounds on this truth. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Next book over, Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to verse 1. Verse 1. And what a wonderful way that the Word of God sets it up. It gets us thinking. The Word of God says, if, the idea is, yes, there is indeed all this. And so therefore, as it has happened, I really need to do verse 2, okay? Because we have everything through Jesus Christ. So we have no excuse not to fulfill my joy, God's joy in verse 2. But let's go to verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. And again, that's kind of a rhetorical thing because there is consolation in Christ, okay? Through God, that's the context of verse 1, is saying, since we do have it, okay? It's making us think, if there be. And so maybe the Philippians, well, let me think about that. Has Christ given me consolation and comfort? Well, yes, he has, okay? If any comfort of love, has Christ given me any comfort in love? Well, yes, he has. If any fellowship of the Spirit, because I'm saved, I have fellowship with God and through the Holy Spirit of God. If we are one with the Holy Spirit of God, we will be one with our brethren. Amen. If any bowels and mercies, that the true tenderness that we have received from God, a very guttural feeling, you know, it's visceral, it's from the gut. Okay, the bowels, meaning it's legit, it's the real thing. It's not just surface, you know, it's not just on the surface. It's right from the bowels of a being. We have received the love and mercies of God. So verse 1, it says if, but the idea is, yes, we have. And since we have, consider it. So verse 2, we have no reason not to do this. So verse 2, fulfill ye my joy. And so when I have everything from verse 1, these are the ingredients that I can take to fulfill verse 2. And we all have it. We all have it. If we are so thankful that we have all our needs through Jesus Christ, then there's no need for me to have my ego, right? And so verse 2, fulfill ye my joy. And just as Paul is writing to the Philippians, this is God's desire for us to fulfill his joy. This is how we are becoming of God. That ye be like-minded. Our minds are alike. What you think, I'm thinking. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That the body of Christ is on the same page. Desiring, you know, if you have a prayer request that is really, really important to you, well, it ought to be really, really important to me. If you're going through a hard time and praying that God gives you the strength to overcome, guess what? I should not be praying for God to lessen the trial. I should be praying how you're praying. If you have a loved one that's wayward from God and you're praying for God to chastise them, I should not be praying for God to be gentle. You know what I'm saying? And if I don't pray like you're praying, there is strife, there is friction, there is disagreement, and that prayer is in vain. Now again, the overarching goal and theme is to pray the will of God and the word of God. So we're all on the same page there. But the way we do that has to be in agreement. Otherwise, let nothing be done through strife, that's friction, that's schism, disagreement, or vain glory. Look at how I pray. Look at what I'm saying. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And wow. When it's not what I want, it's what you want, brother. What you want, sister. That's the heartbeat of the church. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What a reminder. What a way for the church to be in harmony and agreement of prayer. Chapter 3, verse 16. Philippians, still. But Philippians 3, 16. Notice what it says here. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. That means it's not a one and done. It's a continual thing. Let us mind the same thing. You can tell when the church is the whole church is burdened by lost souls, by the reverence of God, you know, as opposed to something else. Okay, when the church is in harmony, look at Philippians 4, verse 2. Kind of the same thing here. Now, this is Paul is kind of calling out some individuals, not just the church, like the Ephesians, okay, or the Corinthians. Look at verse 2, chapter 4. I beseech Aodias, and I beseech, Syntyche. Syntyche, okay, two individuals that apparently were not getting along, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And so they weren't on the same page. And so got to get together. Got to. Now, notice the key there. It says here that they be of the same mind, what? In the Lord. And so that's the secret to how we can pray and be in agreement if we desire what the Lord wants, you know, because then he attunes our hearts and the mind to him, and then we'll be of one mind. It has to be in the Lord. And so let's go back to Matthew. We're going to wrap it up there. Let's go back to Matthew 18. What a reminder, what an exhortation. Of course, for our prayer time, but may this always be the heartbeat in the ministry of the church to be of one mind, one heart, one person. Matthew 18, again, verse 19. Again, I say unto you, we can't be preached at this enough, okay, how true it is, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. The opposite of that would be, it won't be done. And so with that, my friends, let's always be mindful to be praying in unity, to endeavor to keep the unity. And to God be the glory. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a challenge, Lord. What a reminder that you are the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and all three agree in one, that there's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Lord, one hope. And Father, what a reminder that we ought to be preferring others over our own. We do pray for your will and in your will, according to your word. And help us to always, Lord, be loving one another in the Spirit of God. And so, Father, we ask you, bless the prayer time tonight, that we would be in agreement, Father, that we would take to heart the requests that are given and then lift up the petitions of the saints, that you be glorified in all that's said and done. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord again.